going to switch the audio to presenter mode to avoid some of the background noise, and then I will turn the discussion back on at the end for some questions and answers. And in the interim, you can always communicate with me via the chat box on the bottom of the Yugma control panel. All right, well, welcome everyone. This is Don Corey, and welcome to the webinar, Three Things Technology Leaders Can Do to Get More Stuff Done. Thank you all for taking the time to attend, and I'm confident that what I have to share today, you're going to benefit and get some value out of it. And so we have a lot to cover, so I'm going to just dive right in. I will end the call on time to respect your time, and again, as I said, I'll leave some time at the end for questions as well. So, I go to the next slide here. So, are you on the right call? Let's start with that. So, first thing I'm noticing is technology leaders are dealing with a great deal of complexity these days. I attended a conference last month that was talking about the future of technology, and one thing that became very clear to me is that technologies are dealing with more complexity than your typical leader. There are going to be more devices connected to the internet by 2015, than there will be people in the world. So I thought that was an interesting stat and just kind of one indicator of how much complexity really we all are dealing with. You also may feel that there just are not enough hours in the day. So wouldn't we like to add a couple? That would make life a lot easier, wouldn't it? The emails are piling up, perhaps. The demands on your time are greater today than they ever were before. I'm just hearing from another number of technology leaders that it's not even the same amount of work that's falling on fewer people. It's actually more work falling on fewer people. So we just need to find better ways of doing things. Another interesting piece of data, in the year 1900, there were about 1,000 pieces of new information exposed to a person in 6 months. In 1950, 1,000 pieces of new information were exposed to a person in about 6 days. And today, we see about 1,000 pieces of new information in 1 hour. So this is kind of all the information coming at us, and again, we need better ways of dealing with this. So what that also means is that we may be reacting to the latest and loudest. Who's at the door? Who's on the phone? Who's kind of screaming for our attention? I have one client recently I was talking to that was really struggling with this and how to spend his time strategically. And he was so caught up in the day-to-day demands that he was really unable to focus on the bigger picture. And on the positive side of that, he recognized that, and he said to me, "Don, I just have so much to do, I'm not sure which of these items to move off my plate. None of them really can move." So I hope some of the things I have to share today will give you a sense of how to deal with some of this complexity and information. I thought I'd talk just a few minutes about my background and what I do. So I work with technology leaders to help them be more productive. I have a technology background myself. I worked at Fidelity Investments as a vice president of software development for 21 years. And there I was responsible for a number of different product lines and ran multi-million dollar firm-wide programs with global teams in Boston, Dallas, Merrimack, Paris, Bangalore, Mumbai, and a very much a virtual environment in order to deliver our solutions. About 10 or 12 years ago, Bob Reynolds, who at the time was vice chairman of Fidelity and today is the chairman of Putnam Investments, you may have heard the name. And he was speaking to a group of senior leaders, and he said, I see it as a failure of our company when we have to hire leaders from outside. And so it was really a call to action to all of us in the room that part of our job was to develop that next generation of leader. And so I really took that seriously and focused part of my time on help doing that for my staff and my team. And as time went on, I realized that I enjoyed that work as much as I enjoy the technology work, and so here I am today helping technology leaders be more productive. So there's kind of three parts to that. We go through a four-step process to help build upon the leader's skills and competencies that are very specific to the leaders, things like focus and communication and commitment and understanding the big picture, innovation. So we gather information on a number of things and then work with the leader to build upon those. We'll also help build a high-performing team that has a clear sense of purpose. It's kind of the what are we going to do, a clear set of guiding principles, which is how we're going to do it and operate as a team and hold ourselves accountable as a team, as well as goals and roles and responsibilities as appropriate. That's kind of the lower left-hand corner. And then in the lower right, this is about putting a system in place to help the leader and the team members focus on the top priorities and meet all commitments. And this is really what we're going to be talking mostly about today. So the key objective today is really to provide you with three specific tips that you as a technology leader can do to get more done. And those three things, which I'm going to talk about in some detail, is first, identify some techniques to capture everything and anything that has your attention. Second, once you've kind of captured all that stuff, make good decisions on what you're going to do about them. So some of us may be good at the first one, capturing everything, and maybe we're not moving them forward in the best possible way or even the easiest way. And so I'll talk a little bit about that. And then organize the information in a way that makes it available to us at the right time in the right place. So that's what we're going to talk through. I wanted to provide a definition for you, which is the productive state. So this is a state in which a person feels in control, concentrated, focused, making good decisions, feeling relaxed and flexible, while making progress. Oh, someone has not seen the slides. Have they been shared? Yes. So let me just So is anyone else having trouble seeing the slides? Yeah, so, okay, is anyone seeing? All right, that should be better. Okay, fantastic, thanks for letting me know. I'll just quickly, I won't go through all of it again. You heard the audio. This is kind of what I walk through as I work with a leader. And the objectives, capture anything and everything, make decisions on what you're going to do, and organize the information in a streamlined way. So the productive state, feeling in control, concentrated, focused, making good decisions, feeling relaxed and flexible while making progress on your goals. Sounds pretty good, right? And I'll just leave it in conversation mode, so if there are any issues, just feel free to jump in. So the good news is that you've all been in this productive state. You can, I'm sure, think of a time when you've been focused, you've made a lot of progress, and you got done what you wanted to get done. And the good news is this is reproducible. You can get into this state when you want to get into this state. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how to do that. There's an image that comes from the martial arts, and I've heard from a gentleman by the name of David Allen, which is called Mind Like Water. And it goes like this. So if you picture a lake at 6 o'clock in the morning, you picture kind of a very smooth, glass-like lake, right? Not a lot of movement. So someone comes along and throws a pebble into the lake. How does the lake react? It reacts perfectly appropriately, right? There will be a few ripples based on that pebble, and in a few seconds, it will be back to calm. So someone else comes along and throws a big boulder into the lake. And guess what? Again, it acts perfectly appropriately, which is there'll be a lot more waves and a lot more commotion, and it will take more time, and eventually, it will get back to calm. And so that's the way we want our minds to be. There may be small interruptions, and which will be very easy to shift gears and get back to focus. And there may be bigger interruptions, maybe a fire we have to fight, something we have to deal with all day, and sometimes maybe even longer than that. And what we want to be able to do is trust that we'll be able to get back to that clear focus when that does happen. So here's step one. Capture what has your attention. So, as I talked about earlier, there's a lot of new data coming at us all the time. And the trick is to capture these into external buckets. So we have external buckets today. You have an inbox. You certainly have an email inbox. You may have voicemail inbox. And there are some other things as well. So you want to capture these into external buckets to get them out of your short-term memory. Think about computer RAM for a second. So random access memory is temporary memory your computer uses to store things you're working on for quick access, right? It's faster than your hard drive, and so things are working that you're working on temporarily, you don't have to wait while it loads. So what happens when RAM gets overloaded? The computer slows down or crashes. And the same thing happens to us. We can store about 7 things in our short-term memory. After that, if we're trying to remember all of these things, we start to slow down or even burn out. So we have these things called open loops that are things that are not quite in their final state. They're not where we want them to be when they're complete. So each of you has somewhere between 100 and 150 tasks on these items that have to be completed. And if you're not tracking these in a trusted system, then you're trying to remember them all. And this is not the best use of our minds, right? First of all, our minds are not a great tool to keep track of all of these things. And secondly, our minds are a much better tool to be thinking strategically than they are about remembering the milk, for example. And what's amazing to me is once you get these items off your mind and captured in an external bucket, you automatically start thinking at these higher strategic levels, mission, purpose, goals, etc. So all of these tasks and things that we're trying to remember to do are commitments. They're commitments that either we've made to someone else or we've made to ourselves, which, by the way, those are just as important, if not more important, than the ones we've made to other people. And so have this kind of sense of anxiety or sense of overwhelm, it can be coming from these commitments that you know are out there. And so we kind of have three options to deal with these commitments. First is don't make them at all. And actually, once you have a full inventory of everything that does have your attention and all the commitments that you do have, you'll be much better at making decisions on which commitments to make and which ones not. The second option is to keep the commitment, which of course is pretty easy. Okay, I have a commitment to get this done by Friday at noon, and I'm going to meet that commitment. And the third one, which we may not really take advantage of enough, is to renegotiate the commitment. And so, for example, I committed to all of you to be here at 12 o'clock today. And if for some reason I couldn't be here, then I would have taken the opportunity to try to renegotiate that with you and perhaps reschedule, much better than not showing up and all of you are waiting on the call wondering what happened to Don. Right? So the trick is, how can you keep a commitment that you can't remember you made? How can you keep a commitment that you can't remember you made? So all of these commitments and tasks we want to keep track of, and again, to quote David Allen again, you can't feel good about what you are not doing until you know what you're not doing. So let's go on. So that's about capture. So what you want to remember about this particular item is, first, get it all out of your head. Put it into a trusted system. And your mind is actually smart enough to know how much you trust your system. If your mind trusts it, then it will release it, and it's not going to keep reminding you about it. And if it really doesn't trust it, you're going to look back there, then it's going to keep reminding you about it. So you really want to get to a place where it's trusted. You want to minimize your collection buckets so that you have as many as you need and as few as you can get by with. So I have about 8 collection buckets right now. One is a physical inbox on my desk. I also have a physical, and what I mean by physical is just, you know, can take papers and all of that stuff. Physical travel inbox in my briefcase. My email inbox, of course. Voicemail is number 4. Google Reader, I consider another inbox, so all of the feeds that I subscribe to there, and I want to just at least kind of scan them on some regular basis. LinkedIn to stay connected and status updates that come in. Facebook is number 7, and Twitter is number 8. So all of these things you want to really stay on top of. And the third point, which is empty them regularly. So once you've collected them, you really want to clear them out. So your email inbox, for example, I'll advocate that should be at 0 at least once per week, which means there are no messages in your inbox. You've cleared them all out. You've decided what you're going to do about them. And that is a great segue into the next topic. Number 2, so this is the second thing you can do to get more done, which is make decision on what you're going to do about this, what action you're going to take. And there's some art to this, and it's a key decision process that defines the meaning of each item that you've captured. The decision process transforms all of this kind of unclear stuff that you've collected. When you get an email, even as an example, in your inbox, this is unclear. It may not be as specific as saying, Joe Smith, you need to take this action, and you need to do this first on this item. It's not going to be that specific, so you need to decide what to do about it. And so especially in the face of increasing levels of complexity that we've discussed, this is where a number of people can get stuck. And so we want to simplify this complexity and simplify what we have to really move things forward. It takes all the clear stuff that you've captured and puts it into a format that you can take some action about. I had a client the other day actually talking about a personal project to complete an estate plan. So on her to-do list was estate plan. Now that's kind of a big, bulky project, and it's difficult to just do estate plan, right? Unless you're a lawyer and you're going to sit down and write it yourself. So the problem is you can't really do anything about it. And as we talked through the process, she went from, okay, well, estate plan, really what I need to do is hire a lawyer. That's really the next thing. Well, so how are you going to hire a lawyer? Well, I'm going to call a number of lawyers first and then decide which one I'm going to hire. Okay, so how are you going to call them? Well, I'm going to, you know, pick up the phone and call. Great, do you have the phone number? Well, no, I have them somewhere. I think I'm going to need to extract the names and phone numbers of the lawyers that I have in my files. So this, so we kind of went, so really this is what you want to get down to, this very simple next step, which is extract the names and phone numbers. That's something you can do. That's something that you can look at on your list and do something about. Estate plan, subconsciously we're going to look at that and say, that's way more complicated than I have time to focus on right now. I'm just moving on. It's, although if you look at something called extract names of lawyers from my file, that's kind of something you can focus on. You can't make the phone call until you have the phone number. So we all need about an hour a day to do this processing. So this is not about doing work. This is really just about defining your work. So it's about getting very clear what this next step is. If you ever had a job of cranking widgets, so I used to have a job of, believe it or not, grating eggs. So we would take these ungrated eggs and put them on a conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt would decide whether it's a large, based on the weight, whether it's large or extra large or jumbo, and then we would take all of those and put them into cartons. So this is pretty simple. You don't have to think about it. You just kind of do it. It's like turning the crank, cranking widgets, right? Well, we're not in that space. We're knowledge workers. There's more complexity to our work. And what we want to do is get our work down to as simple as cranking widgets. So we're not thinking about it. If you're trying to take time to think during your day-to-day work, you just don't have it. You're dead. You're moving too fast. So you want to be able to get these down to simple actions that are things like call Fred, email Bill, draft report, and keep it as simple as possible. So here's a little diagram of how this all works. So you have stuff coming in, ideas that you have, email that you have, voicemail, paper, all of this comes into some one of those collection buckets that we talked about. So the first thing you want to ask yourself is this actionable? Is this something that I need to take action on? If the answer is no, you only have three simple places to put this. First is throw it out, put it in the trash. We probably all don't take enough opportunity to do exactly that. Second is to file it into some type of reference system, either electronic or physical. I'll talk about a best practice on that in a few minutes. And the third is to incubate it, which means I'm not ready to take action on this right now, but I may at some future point. So you can put that on a list that you can review at a later time to decide if you want to make it actionable. Things on this list could be things like take a Mediterranean cruise or learn karate or reorganize the department or buy a company, right? Things like that that you're not ready to take action on right now. If it is actionable, you want to ask yourself, number one, what is the successful outcome? And number two, what is the next action? In my example before, the successful outcome would have been complete estate plan, and the next action is what it is extract data, extract names and phone numbers of lawyers from files. So you want to define the next action. And then there's really only four things you're going to do with that action. First of all, and if you get nothing else out of today, this little tip I think will benefit you quite a big deal, which is the two-minute rule. By the way, if there's some background noise, you can just enter *6 on your phone. *6 will put you in mute mode. I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. So this is called the two-minute rule. If it's less than 2 minutes, if it's going to take you less than 2 minutes, just do it. It will take you longer to track it and document it than it will to just do it. So that's a neat little tip, the two-minute rule. Otherwise, if it's a specific time and date action, it goes on your calendar. Simple as that. If it's an action that you want to take later on, you want to defer it, it goes on to an action list. And we're going to talk about how to organize that action list. And if it's an action that you're going to delegate to someone else, but it's important to you that it gets completed either by a certain time or gets completed, period, put it on a list called waiting for. This is kind of a neat little tip as well, which is if you can think of a time where you delegated something or handed it off to someone else, doesn't necessarily mean that this is someone that reports to you, but you've handed this off to someone else and you're waiting for them to get back to you, and they don't get back to you, well, still, you want to make sure you have some accountability about that, so track it on a list called waiting. So that's really it. All the stuff that comes in, there's only these really 7 or 8 places that things can go, the 8th place being the project list, and there's not really a lot more complexity to it than that. So now the third tip is, once you've defined all of these successful outcomes and actions, you want to organize the information in a way that you can easily get to it when you want to get to it. Think about this. You're at the phone. You're at your phone. Perhaps you're in your car parked and you don't have access to your computer or anything else. You just have your phone. You have about 10 minutes before your next meeting. Wouldn't it be nice to see all of the phone calls that you have to make and nothing else? It's kind of like your shopping list when you go to the grocery store. You don't keep all of your to-do lists, all of your to-do items on that list. You keep just the stuff you need at the supermarket. So this is the same idea. Why would you put all of your actions on the same list? Create a list called phone calls, and the next time you have just your phone available, you have some options to choose from. Okay, here's a call I know I need to make. I think this is going to take less than 10 minutes. This is the call to make. Again, if you start to try to think about that, then you're not going to accomplish as much as you could be. So having all of these actions available to you gives you the option of deciding the right action to focus on at the right time and how to decide whether or not to take an interruption. So this is another part of that. As an interruption comes in, you have a full list of what you have to do. You're going to make better decisions about whether that interruption is important and urgent or just purely urgent and it feels like you need to take it. So some lists that you could create here, which are around your context, like phone, for example, is a context. You have that and no other tools available, so phone call would be one list. A computer list would be another list for things like email, sue, and browse for new printers or whatever you may need to do while you're at your computer. Home would be another list, so things that you can do only when you're at home. Clean the garage. Office would be another list. Errands would be another list. Buy new batteries, so things that you just need while you're out and about. Waiting, I shared that on the last slide, waiting for is another list. This is another little tip I'll give you, which is I have a list called Agenda. And so people that I meet with on a regular basis, for example, Frank, one of my clients, I have a list called Frank. And on that list goes everything that I want to talk to Frank about the next time I see him. So when I'm in front of him, I just simply pull out that list and everything that I need to get his attention on is right there in front of him. So I'm not, again, trying to think about it or look in several different places. It's just really in one place. I'll talk a little bit about reference. A number of you in responding to what's your biggest challenge, said, gee, I'd just like to have the information I need right at my fingertips. And so this applies to physical and electronic, which is the best practice here is just keep one A to Z system. Don't try to subdivide it into other categories because it just makes exponential the number of places something could be. My cell phone, for example, can either be filed under BlackBerry or Verizon, or cell phone, really those three places. Who knows what I decided to call it at the time. And if this is not flat, then there are just that many more places the cell phone file could be. It should take you less than 60 seconds to create a file. So again, electronically, that's pretty easy. You can create files in Outlook or create files in your Windows or Apple directories. For physical files, keep it less than 3/4 full so that it's easy to get in and out of without getting paper cuts and injuring yourself. Make it fun and easy. So some people like to suggest using a labeler to punch that, something you can punch out in less than 60 seconds with a file folder, put it in the file folder, file it, and you're done. If you try to create a file box or a file pile, it's going to be really difficult to get back to it because it will it'll continue to get larger and larger. And if you purge your files annually, then that really keeps them relevant and specific, and you can either archive the old stuff or toss it as appropriate. So those are some best practices on reference. A few references that I just wanted to share of folks that I've connected with and share some of the points are David Allen's Getting Things Done, a fairly popular methodology. Some of you may have heard of it. This book was published in 2001. And Stephen Covey and his co-authors of First Things First. You may recognize Stephen Covey from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People and his book called First Things First. That's actually Habit 3, so he expanded on that and some of the information I shared from there as well. So I wanted to spend a few minutes just talking about an offer that I'd like to put on the table for all of you, which is a group coaching program. And it's a 6-week program in particular to discuss 5 phases of mastering workflow. And I'm actually going to walk you through this. You can get to this on this URL here, which is my website, coreycc.com, and then personal-productivity-coaching. And I'll be sending you a link with this as well. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to take 6 weeks and personally train a group of 20 leaders and business owners how to be productive at wealth, how to create that productive state we talked about. We'll walk through a simple 5-step process to ensure that you're meeting all of these commitments. First, you've captured them all, and you're focusing on the right things, making progress on your goals, all while being stress-free. I know you're dealing with a high level of complexity, and there's just more demands falling on you. So here's how it works. First, it's there'll be concise, easy to implement training materials. I'll send you a link and a dial-in number to attend each week's training. I'll also be recording each of these lessons, and this recording will also be available, by the way, on my website, and we'll send you the recording each week. You'll have results-focused assignments to complete so you can kind of implement and practice out what we've talked about. And you'll also have unlimited email support from me during the six weeks of coaching. So you can ask me really any question about what we've talked about or anything in the productivity space, and I'm happy to answer. By the end of the six-week program, you'll have the tools that you need to increase your productivity and really get more done. So here's what the 6 weeks will look like. In week one, you'll learn how to collect. So I talked a little bit about how important capturing the information is, and I'll actually walk you through some specifics of how you can do that, and we'll go through an exercise that will help you capture everything right now that has your attention. And if you've had any thought during this session other than exactly what we're focused on, or if you've switched screens and got to email or done something else or jotted something down because it has your attention, this is exactly what we're going to help you do so that you can stay focused on exactly what you're working on. You know, there was an interesting study about multitasking a few months ago. I think it was the University of Berkeley. Some of you may have seen it. And they actually tested the people that were self-proclaimed multitaskers or good at multitasking. And what they found was the people that thought they were good at multitasking were really less productive than the people that focused on one thing at a time. So in some ways, there really is no such thing as multitasking. You're just focusing on one thing and then focusing on another. And that may be 1 hour at a time or 1 day at a time or 5 seconds at a time. In week two, I'll show you how to process that list. So we talked about, for example, successful outcomes and next actions, and we'll go into that in some level of detail and talk about all your other collection buckets, how, for example, you may navigate the social media space and how to manage all of that incoming stuff. In week three, you'll learn how to organize all of your actions in a way so that they'll show up exactly when and where you need them to show up. So I'll go through those lists in some detail and help you to start to set that up. Week four, a critical part of this is making sure your system is up to date. So I talked about having a trusted system, otherwise your mind is not going to really trusted enough to let go of it. And I'll show you how to walk through your system from top to bottom to ensure it's up to date. And when it's up to date, that's when you start to trust it. In week five, we'll talk about how to make good decisions on how to focus your time, when to accept interruptions, and how to align all of this with your goals and vision. And in week six, we'll talk about how to implement this. Some people prefer electronic, some people prefer paper, and we'll talk about the options of that and some tips on that started. Optionally, I'll also throw in 1 hour of one-on-one coaching after. During this time, I'll do a personal review of your implementation and make sure that you're on the right path to getting more stuff done. So normally I charge $1,650 for one-on-one coaching for six sessions, and so a number of people have asked me for a more economical approach to this, and so the low cost of $5.95 for the six-week program, and then $7.95 if you want to throw in that 1 hour of one-on-one coaching. And we're going to start this on May 18th and go through June 22nd. It's Tuesdays at noon, exactly the time we're meeting now. The deadline for the registration is Friday, May 15th, and all you have to do is sign up here on the right and submit your name and everything else. You'll get all the other information you need. One question you may be asking yourself is, well, do I have enough time for this? And I actually get that question. It's kind of ironic. If you're thinking no, really, of course you do, because 6 to 7 hours of your time is going to save you much more time in the long run. And I can guarantee that. So I would like to just open it up for questions. I think we are in conversation mode, so anyone is welcome to jump in and ask a question on anything that we've talked about today, or in particular the follow-up program, whatever you'd like to talk about. I used to have this boss, and if he was presenting at an all-hands meeting, he used to say, well, it's the minimum number of questions is 3 questions, and we're not leaving until I get 3 questions. And I'm certainly not going to do that to all of you, but I found that interesting, and I'm sure there are questions out there. If you have one, I'm sure someone else has a similar thought. Okay, yeah, that's why it's always good. Good, hi, Gail. Yeah, so great question. So all of these will be recorded, and so you can always go back and listen to the audio, and you'll have a handout which will help you walk through and stay along with the audio. So you actually don't have to be available specifically at that time, and you can listen to it anytime. Even if you can't make any of the weeks live, you can always go back, and the audio will be available for those people that sign up. Yep, you can both sign up. I'll extend that if there's someone else that specifically you work with, you can point them to this page. And again, you guys will be getting a link on this tomorrow. And you can extend it from them and ask them to sign up. Yes. And if you want to get there before, again, it's just coreycc.com/personal-productivity-coaching. What other questions? All right, well, thank you very much. I'll also just type in my email address here if you'd like to get in touch with me. You can also do this on my website. Feel free to drop me a note or go to my website and sign up for the program. And thank you all very much. I appreciate your time. I'll give you back a few minutes to get a few other things done, and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you very much.